Morning, everybody.
Morning.
All right, ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you for this beautiful morning. Oh, the sunshine, the cool breeze, so refreshing, God. We just feel your presence in all of it. And thank you for the great privilege we have of gathering together in the name of Christ. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. God, thank you for their faith. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their encouragement. And I just pray, God, you'll bless each one here, each family that comes to this church. Just please bless them. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for the great news about Lisa. What an awesome report she got, Father. And either way, no matter what happened, we know, God, every good thing comes from you. And we thank you that her heart is healthy. Father, we thank you for True being here at church this morning. What a blessing. We just thank you for the great privilege we have of influencing people for the truth. And what an awesome privilege and what a great responsibility. And we thank you, God, when we thank you for the times we see fruit, God, that comes from you working through our lives. Now, Father, we want to pray for Natalie's grandson and his broken arm. Father, we pray that you'll be with the young man and comfort him and give him peace. And we pray that, Father, he will have a smooth recovery. And we pray that there will be no further complications from this. And we just pray you'll bless Natalie and the family as they're there for him today. And Father, we pray that you'll bless Miss Phyllis. And we pray that you'll heal her body of the cold and give her comfort, God, in her body aches. And we pray you'll help her to get back on her feet, Father, as soon as possible. And thank you again. Thank you again, Father, for hearing our prayers. I'm so grateful that I'm not responsible for carrying the weight of the world. As you present us with needs, I thank you that we can cast those cares on you, God, and let you lead us, and let you work. You know what's best. You do what's good. You always do good. And I thank you for being our shield and our defense. You are a mighty God, and we thank you. Father, thank you for this time we have. Look into your word. Your word, it's alive and powerful. And I know that as we read and study, God, you are speaking. And I pray you give us ears to hear this morning. I pray you'll move us, God, from where we're at to exactly where you want us to be. Correct us where it's necessary. And we'll be sure to humble ourselves and be obedient to you. Father, please help me to clearly share what you put on my heart. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 27. We're going to talk about the anatomy of wisdom. The anatomy of wisdom. Here goes. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. The anatomy of wisdom. It's kind of a difficult thing going through the first few chapters of this because it seems kind of repetitive. But as we go through this, there's always something a little bit more that we can take from this. We've talked about keeping God's word before our eyes. We've talked about that several times, but I think there's a flow to this. I think there's a pattern here that we can apply to ourselves. So here, let me lay this out for you. Your eyes and your ears are receptive to the world around you, right? Your eyes and your ears, they feed your heart, okay? Verse 23 explains that we need to keep our heart with all diligence, which means you need to guard it. You need to protect it. You need to put in effort to make sure that your heart stays in the right place. And that starts with your eyes and your ears, okay? And then you can follow this one step further, and you can recognize what's going on in your heart by the things that come out of your mouth, okay? You probably heard the phrase before, garbage in, garbage out. It's true. It's true. And the opposite of that is true as well. What we're talking about today, wisdom in, wisdom will come out. You recognize what's going on in your heart by what comes out of your mouth. And when you recognize that there is an issue by the things that are coming out of your mouth, you need to be quick to correct it. You need to be quick to get your heart back in the right place. Because if you don't, then it leads to actions. Then it leads to actions. And then that's what he's talking about after that. Keeping your eyes straight, keeping your feet on the right path. If you don't keep your heart, you'll stray. So that's my plan. Make sense to everybody? So let's talk about the eyes for a minute. Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And as I was studying, I was like cheering when I was finding these verses that are connecting what I had on my heart. You see here in this verse, first he talks about his eyes and his heart right after. I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes that will keep me from having a perverse heart. You see the connection? So much failure in the Bible starts with the eyes. Can you guys think of examples?
David and Bathsheba.
David and Bathsheba. David is up on the rooftop, strolling after his little afternoon siesta, when he should have been out. He should have been at war with the soldiers. He decides to stay back. And here's another truth. Whenever you're not where God wants you to be, you're setting yourself up for trouble. So there he is wandering around on the rooftop, and he notices the woman, wherever she's at. I was going to say next door. I don't know that she was next door, but in the area, taking a bath. And his eyes led him into sin. There's plenty of others.
Eve.
She's staring at the fruit of the tree from which she wasn't supposed to eat. That's always dangerous. Always dangerous when you're looking at things that you're not supposed to have. Always dangerous. Sometimes it's a little more subtle. I was thinking about Lot. When Lot and Abraham separated, Abraham said, you go wherever you want to go and I'll go the other way. Okay? Well, Lot looked up and he saw this beautiful land, okay? But the Bible tells us that it was right there at this place next to Sodom, which was extremely wicked. And the truth is, he should have never went that direction. He started walking that direction, and pretty soon he ended up living in Sodom. And it all started with him choosing by his eyes. Samson got himself in a ton of trouble walking by his eyes. So there's a lot of examples. Don't want to beat it to death too badly. You guys understand. By the way, for my brothers, we have to be doubly diligent. My brothers in Christ, we have to be doubly diligent because our greatest temptations for men come through our eyes. And since you guys are all men in here with me, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Our sexual temptation for men comes through the eyes. We have to do what Job did. In Job 31:1, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. My eyes and me have made a deal that I'm not going to look at a young woman. For women, sexual temptation is different. It comes through their ears. Not always, but you know you get the idea. But that women want to hear things that puff them up, and that leads them into sexual sin. And that's how the whole promiscuity thing works. See, men want to see things, so they say what the woman wants to hear. Because the woman wants to hear things, she shows more. That's how this works. That's how the whole cycle works. I got a verse for you for that. Ties those two together. This is interesting. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Here's the two put together. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. See how those two are put together? The guys are trying to charm. The women are trying to show the beauty. Both of those. Okay? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, both of those are fake. Both of those are temporary, not lasting, and they will lead you into trouble. You understand? That's why women can get addicted to soap operas and romance novels, things like that, because they're hearing, right? They're hearing the men say things in that way. That's how they're being tempted. It's the hearing. But either way, we can make bad decisions. We make very bad decisions by the sight of our eyes and by the hearing of our ears if we're not careful. Oh, another note I put about the eyes. I remember when a friend of ours was at Teen Challenge, recovery place up in Wisconsin. And we went to visit, and he was telling us they had watched the Super Bowl. But they had a guy on commercial duty. So he was always shutting the TV off during the Super Bowl when the commercials came on. Why? So that there was no temptation that came through. No triggers. And listen, that type of action, that type of advice, that's not just for addicts. That's for everybody. You gotta be wise enough. You gotta be wise enough to shut things off that are put in front of your eyes that you don't need to be looking at. The triggers are everywhere. The Bible calls it the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. Covetousness is another one. Covetousness is part of the lust of the eyes, where you things are set before you to make you desire, to make you ungrateful for what you have, and make you desire something else. That happens through the eyes. Satan even tried to tempt Jesus that way. Remember? He took him up on a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, "I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me." He was tempting him through his eyes. Covetousness happens all the time. Proverbs 17:24 says, "Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." You know what that means? Wisdom keeps your feet planted in reality, okay? But it's foolish when you start daydreaming and living in fantasy land, longing for things that you don't have or God doesn't want you to have. Also, Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire." So much temptation comes through the eyes. The ears. The ears are another receptacle to the heart. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed what you hear. Because what you hear gets into your heart and can change your thinking.
What was that? Sorry.
Mark chapter 4, verse 24. "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." When you're listening to the right thing and you're obeying it, Jesus will give you more. But you got to take heed what you're listening to. I will never, ever believe a person who tells me that they only listen to music for the beat. Right?
Yeah.
I don't believe them. I don't even listen to the words. I don't do this, but inside I just want to yell, "Liar!" Whether you think you're listening to them or not, they're getting in your ears. And music especially is very influential. Very influential. Boy, music can change your mood, change your attitude quick. It's no joke. Gotta be careful what you listen to. Psalm 1:1 says you gotta avoid ungodly counsel. Be careful who you're getting advice from. And can I tell you this? You even need to be careful if they give you a scripture. You better check it out. the devil, go back to Jesus' temptation. The devil quoted scripture to him. Mm-hmm. Out of context and twisted and perverted. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful about listening to gossip and slander. There are times when I have to say very hard things to people, right? But I have to for their good. Okay? But to just sit around talking about people is sinful. And you know why this is so bad? Because when you're the one talking or the person is talking to you, you're listening to it. What happens is, whether you're trying or not, your view of that person is altered by the positivity or the negativity that you're hearing. That goes into your ear and it goes into your heart. And next time you look at that person, you think about that stuff. And it could all be wrong. And now you're looking at that person in a different way. And that's just wickedness. Careful about that. Proverbs 16:28. Trying to get people fighting each other. Proverbs 16:28. Well, let's read 27 and 28 together. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. See how that works? Somebody comes up, whispers something about a person to somebody else, changes their perception, and it can ruin that relationship. It can ruin a family. It can ruin a church. Whispers, they separate friends. Don't be listening to that stuff. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. If you're around a person who is complaining and angry all the time, you're going to start doing it. Get yourself some friends that love the Lord and they have joy in their heart. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. That's a proverb too, I'm sure of it. That's Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Let's see. I got more. Proverbs 26:28. I don't think you need to subject yourself to being lied to either. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Just listen to me. I'm going to say this. It's not loving to lie to people. It's hatred. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Be careful, too, about people who come around you and heap a bunch of praise on you that you and God know you don't deserve. Don't start basking in that and thinking that they're telling the truth about you. You got to be wiser than that, because what they're doing is they're setting a trap for you.
Yes.
Be careful what you're listening to. That's all I'm trying to say. Be careful what you're looking at. Because your eyes and your ears are the receptacle to your heart. And you have to guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. What goes in there is what's coming out. You've got to protect it. A wise man is not interested in just hearing what makes him feel good. A wise man wants to be corrected. A wise man wants to walk in truth. Fools just want to be entertained all the time. I'm for entertainment sometimes. Okay? But we have to be walking in truth. Especially these days. If I could just throw this in there. I said I was going to move on, but I'm not. 2 Timothy 4. You know this. 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul's advice to Timothy: preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or their own lusts, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We are living in that time. People want to hear what encourages their lusts. Did you guys hear the news about the Methodist Church this week?
Yes.
Giving up all rules against homosexuality.
That's why I don't go there anymore for it.
And even in the clergy.
Yeah.
It's all gone. They got rid of it. And I heard that the ban on that was only 40 years old. That's one generation. One generation. It's gone now. Anything goes. Somebody is listening to the wrong advice. Somebody is not reading their Bible.
Reading the wrong one.
And that's how you guard your heart. You have to read your Bible. One of the most amazing jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring to your remembrance the Word of God the moment you need it. And again, you got to be putting that in so that he can pull that out and give that to you right when you need it. Amazing. That's the one way that he protects us. You hear something and a red flag will come up. And by the way, when that happens, don't ever ignore that. Don't ever ignore that. There's a reason for that. And you got to find out what it is. Got to guard your heart. Your heart is the control center of your life. People talk a lot about the question, why does evil exist? And here's the answer. The evil exists because men are evil. The evil in the world is coming out of the hearts of men. It's not coming from the heart of God. It's coming from the hearts of men. That's why we have these problems. People have unkept hearts. There's rotten fruit in there. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." All those things originate in the hearts of men, Jesus said so. Those things come out of the heart. In that verse, he also mentions this next step. So you got to beware. You got to be paying enough attention to notice when things come out of your mouth that shouldn't, that there's a problem. There's a problem.
Deeper.
Yeah. Jesus mentioned it there. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Okay. I wrote down Luke 6:45. I don't know why, but I'm just going to go there. Luke 6:45. Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." There it is. When your words are not good, your heart is not good. When your words are not right, your heart's not right. You better fix it. It happens. I'm not saying it's never going to happen. I'm saying it does happen. I'm just saying when you recognize it, you got to fix it. Fix it right away. So it doesn't lead to actions. Oh, let's see.
Pastor, what if you're having difficulty identifying what that might be?
I don't think it's too difficult to find.
Like, okay,
if you pray
a swear word, and right away, now that I'm good and saved, you know, I'm not brand new, right away, Lord, I'm so sorry. What is that?
I think you probably already ran a stop sign.
Or did I hear
when you
somewhere?
No, when you get to that spot where it comes out of your mouth, I'm saying you probably already ran through an intersection you shouldn't have, and it's no problem at all for the Holy Spirit to remind you. You shouldn't even have taken this step back here.
Back it up.
How am I trying to say this? The Holy Spirit tells you when you do something wrong.
Yes, right.
But sometimes we blow through a red light, right?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Sometimes we run right through that warning, and it gets us to a spot. And then you catch it later.
Okay.
Like, oh man, where did I go wrong?
I'm getting better at that. I mean, see what you're saying.
I shouldn't even have done this.
Maybe you're angry about something, and then something else goes wrong, and now you're swearing about this new thing, but it was really the thing that you were angry about to begin with.
Yeah.
I just trust that the Holy Spirit knows how to show you this stuff.
Yes. I know what you're saying now. I understand. Because there'll be times I'll want to, and
God says no.
Don't you dare. Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be times
and
God says no.
Happen.
Well, there's times God says no and you do it anyway, and then afterward, you're trying to figure out what went wrong. But I think the Holy Spirit will show you. You messed up back here. You messed up a couple blocks back.
Okay. This is that part where you said, well, as we mature and get sanctified, the sin is more inward instead of more outward sin.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're not going to be perfect.
Right.
I'm not trying to tell anybody that you're going to be perfect, but we're supposed to be growing in this way.
Yeah.
The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's all I'm trying to say. And sometimes we get a little lax, and our hearts get exposed. And I'm just trying to get drill this down so that we all recognize it.
If I could give a little testimony to that.
Okay.
Before I came to Christ, I had the worst potty mouth. But when I came to Christ, he cleaned me thoroughly that those things never came out of my mouth again. And I guess I didn't take pride in that really because I just thought that's a part of the cleanup process, you know, him cleansing my life. But it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago when I was in Rockford, and I did run through a red light, literally. I was looking at the next green light, and green meant go, so I went. And I was right through the red light right in front of me. And when I did, a guy came out and almost T-boned me. So I missed him and swerved again to miss the light. But as I did that, I saw my life kind of flash before my eyes because I saw the nose of his truck right under my arm. And when I did that, all of that pressure, I don't know what it was, but a word came out of my mouth I haven't said since I've been saved, yeah, over 20 years. And I was flabbergasted at myself. Something's in my water. I didn't even know something was still in there. But I felt in my spirit, I felt like it was the Lord saying, don't get comfortable. Stay on guard.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is prowling around looking for someone to devour. But that's a minor thing. I realize that it could have been very major. It could have been the start of a slide.
Yeah.
You know, a backsliding.
Yeah.
It just shocked me that the Lord said, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Sin is always creeping at your door.
Always crouching at the door. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Cain. Mm-hmm. The Lord said to Cain, before he killed his brother, he had already messed up. And God knew where he was going. And God said to him, you can fix this. Right? Do what's right. But if not, sin is crouching at the door and his desire is to have you. And Cain didn't fix it. He went on and killed his brother. Yep. Well, that stoplight thing was very specific.
Yeah.
Wow, where'd that come from?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Let's see, what else I got there? Proverbs 13, verse 3. I'm really shooting fast, ain't I? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13, 3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Wow. We really should. We really should have a holy hatred for all manner of wicked talk. Whether it be cursing and swearing, but also lying, false teachings. Yep, slander, gossip, filthy jokes, dirty jokes, foolish talking. Some people, they just go too far and just talk nonsense. Complaining, carelessness. You should hate any of that coming out of our mouth. And if you watch your mouth, then you will then turn around and protect your eyes and your ears, and then your feet won't stray off the path. All of this goes together in Proverbs chapter 4. What should be coming out of my mouth? Okay. This one we're going to read a little bit, so please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go through this, and then one more thing, and then we'll be done. Ephesians 4.
Verse.
Oh, the verse?
Yes.
I didn't get that far? Sorry.
No.
I do that sometimes.
I don't.
We're going to start at 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, let's read verse 24. Verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man. Pastor was talking about putting on Christ,
yeah,
put, like a mantle, right? Take off the old man, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, what does that look like? Well, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And listen, speak the truth, even to your hurt. Just tell the truth. So many people lie to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Just tell the truth. God will bless you for telling the truth. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There's a lot of things that make me angry. There's a lot of things that make Jesus angry. You know, he was flipping over tables and stuff. But that doesn't give you permission to let go of your tongue and go on a tirade. You can be angry and not sin. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. There's clues. There's people, there's sayings that people have, or excuses people make, you know, and they think they're doing it. And some people think, I've heard people say, more than one person, the Bible doesn't say anything about cussing and swearing. Well, right here, it says, just to get this cleared up, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When you speak, it should be to build up, never to tear down.
King James says minister.
Minister, yes. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's got emotions, and he grieves. He grieves when we do these things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what malice is? That's when you're happy because someone else is hurt. That's malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then I'd like to jump down to verse 3 and 4 of chapter 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And the reason I wanted to go that far, because I wanted to read that phrase, coarse jesting. That means dirty jokes. Irreverent, joking, jesting. Watch your mouth, okay? So here it is again. Watch your eyes and your ears, right, to protect your heart. Pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth, because it gives you warning signs. If something comes out of your mouth that shouldn't be there, correct it. Make corrections so that you don't wander, so that you don't stray. Okay, last thing. When you recognize there's an issue and you have to fix it, sometimes this will take drastic measures. Drastic measures. So last thing, let's turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Jesus is speaking in hyperbole, okay? Because he's trying to get the point across about how serious this is. If we all cut off our feet, hands, and eyes every time we sinned, we'd be a mess. That can't be what he's saying, right? But what he is saying is, sometimes it takes drastic measures to avoid temptation. And I can't tell you what you need to do, but I think you already know. You know where your weaknesses are. And if you keep stumbling over something, right, you need to get that thing out of your life. And I don't know what that is. It could be a person. If you hang around a person and all you do is fall on your face every time you're around that person, listen, you're not doing them any good by falling on your face every time you're around them. Leave them alone. Let God work in a different way there. Maybe it's an electronic device that causes you to stumble. And if you're having a problem, you need to get rid of it. Get a flip phone. Right? It doesn't matter. If you're falling on your face because of your phone, you've got to get rid of it. Stop. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. If he said your foot causes you to sin, it could be a place you go. If it's a place you go, don't go there. If every time you go see your family on Thanksgiving, you get in a cussing match with someone there, send them a card. Don't go end up in a cussing match. Sometimes it takes drastic measures. That's all I'm trying to say. Does that make sense to everybody? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you weak that you have to cut this thing out of your life, right? You think, no, I can do it. I got this. That's foolish. That's foolish. It's strong to recognize where you're weak and protect yourself. Okie dokie. Keep your heart with all diligence. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. What a beautiful, gracious, loving warning you've given to us this morning. And I just pray, Lord, you'll help us to recognize the areas in our life where changes need to be made. And I pray you give us courage to do it, to protect our heart, God, so we keep our feet on the right path. Father, please continue to bless this day. Please bless this service about to start. Please bless tonight's service. And Father, please use them to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Have a great day.